Sport on Highland, brought to you by Cash for Clubs at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, the new loyalty scheme that rewards your club every time you shop at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll hear from Declan Boyle as Harps take on Sligo Rovers on Friday evening in the North West Derby. Also on the show, Donegal's latest centurion, Geraldine McLaughlin, will speak to us ahead of the clash of the Donegal Senior Ladies and Mayo. Gary McDade, former Donegal Senior Selector and former Donegal Under-21 manager, will give his thoughts on the games involving the North West sides in at the Allianz National Football Leagues this weekend, where Donegal, Tyrone and Derry are all chasing semi-final places, and if they don't win, they could find themselves in playoffs. Paul O'Kane was this week named as Letterkenny Rugby Club's new head coach. We'll hear from the Limavady native and what his plans are for the Donegal side. Plus in rallying, Gary Jennings and Rory Kennedy are set to return to action next Monday in the opening round of the British Rally Championship. We'll hear what Gary's plans are for that event next week. We're going to start with soccer, with one game to play before the mid-season break in the Premier Division. Finn Harps will look to take points off the league leaders, Sligo Rovers, who visit Finn Park tomorrow night. Elsewhere, Derry City go to fourth place Drogheda United. Shamrock Rovers will want to get back to winning ways at Longford. Georgie Kelly will look to build on his goal tally as Bowes face Waterford, and St Pat's take on Dundalk. I've been joined this week for our League of Ireland chat by Sligo Rovers under-19 manager and former Finn Harps player, Declan Boyle. Yeah, Declan, Sligo Rovers, we'll start with them, top of the table. They are, of course, coming to Finn Park on Friday night. You're the Sligo under-19 manager. I'm sure you've had training between Monday and when we're talking now. I would say there's a great atmosphere and feeling around the club with the sides leading the way now in the Premier Division.
Yeah, absolutely. Big result for them, beating Shamrock Rovers over there. And it was funny, the Shamrock Rovers went 33 games unbeaten and then lost two within a very short space of time. So big result, obviously 1-0 up in Tala for Sligo. And that keeps them a point above Shamrock Rovers, and it keeps it very exciting. But it's good to be probably involved with Sligo Rovers at the minute. They're going very well. They've only one loss for the whole season. So their form's been good. They're coming to Finn Park, obviously full of confidence. But Finn Harps is a difficult place to come, as we all know. And Finn Harps will be willing and ready to take 3 points off them if the performance isn't good enough.
Yeah, and I suppose from a Sligo point of view, it's evident how much they've come since the break for COVID last year, where they were lingering in the bottom of the table, and now they find themselves sitting at the other end, leading the pack. And you have to give Liam Buckley and those involved there a lot of credit, because it's been a fantastic transformation, so it has.
Yeah, it's some turnaround, hasn't it been? Like, you're right, I mean, before COVID there, they were sitting in the bottom, and then they came back from COVID and went on a run of games and ended up getting into Europe. And they probably got in more players and better quality players than Buckley did in the off season, because of the fact that they got into Europe and they know there's probably funding coming their way from the European adventure. So yeah, listen, and that's added. And obviously they've added in the quality, and they've gelled together very well. And as I said earlier, only lost one game so far. I think they've 5 draws and the rest are all wins. So the performances have been very good. The good quality in the top end of the pitch, they can cause you problems. And that's where they've kind of let out with. And they started off very well, very consistent, not conceding too many goals. And I suppose the key is no injuries as such. And Liam Buckley chatted about it afterwards in the match in Shamrock Rovers. If he can keep his team together, the squad wouldn't be the biggest, probably not the strongest in the league compared to Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers. But if he can go through a season where he's very little injuries, he'll be up around the top three or two, and even one if he gets the luck he needs.
Yeah, obviously he's going to keep them grounded. They're not going to get too carried away with this, and they'll know what the next challenge is going to be like, because Finn Park, as you said earlier, it's a difficult place to come, and Harps will be looking to put it up to them.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, Harps have overturned them on many occasions in Finn Park, and I'm expecting a big performance from Finn Harps on Friday night. Disappointingly, Drogheda scored last minute winner last week, and then obviously they bounced back for a terrific performance and an excellent result down in Waterford, 1-2-1 after conceding as well. And that's a big thing, coming from behind 1-0 away from home and digging out a really big performance, and probably should have won it more comfortably on the night. The performance was excellent. Their home performance has been very good as well. Oisin and I'm expecting the same sort of performance. So, you know, we know we're going to get from Harps. You know, they're very dogged, defensively very good, don't give much away, and it's going to be a difficult place for them to come and get 3 points.
Yeah, but you'll not want to go 1-0 down against the league leaders, will you, Declan, on Friday night?
No, listen, there's no doubt about it. Like, you're right. There's not too many games where you go 1-0 down in the Premier League so far this season where teams have turned it around. Obviously, last week down in Waterford was an exception to that one. But majority of times when you concede first, it puts you under a wee bit of pressure. And also, what it means as well that Ollie has to change the strategy a wee bit in regards to he likes to play a wee bit more defensive. And if they can go goal hop, they can dig in a wee bit deeper and then hit teams in the counter-attack. But when you have to start chasing games and you're pushing men forward to create opportunities, that obviously leaves spaces, and Sligo Rovers will exploit those spaces because their top three are very very dynamic, really, really quick, and like to get in behind teams and can cause you problems when they're left 1v1s.
If Harps are going to sort of trouble them, if Harps are going to come with a breakthrough here, and if they are going to do damage to Sligo on Friday, where do you think it's going to come from, Declan?
Yeah, listen, I mean, Tunde Olabi's come on and done an excellent performance there down in Waterford and created them problems. Obviously got a penalty in the second half. Barry McNamee's been to the fore of everything, has been very positive. Biden, he can play higher up the pitch and stay close to Adam Foley, who's obviously in 6 goals, joint top scorer with Georgie Kelly so far. So, you know, that's what you're looking at. Carlos Owens, very industrial down the right-hand side. You know, with quality of ball, and he's a wee bit better at times, but he does cause problems in the counter-attack, and he's got that pace as well. So you're looking at the mixture of them. It'll be interesting to see what the starting lineup will be. Will Tundy make the starting 11? He's been coming on in substitution roles. Started obviously down in Waterford and made an impact and was heavily involved for a lot of the key moments of Harps' attacks, and obviously got a penalty, as I said earlier, and then Brian McNamee stuck that away. And Adam Foley then scored an excellent goal down the right-hand side just a minute later, and a great finish. So, you know, you're looking at those probably key players. Defensively, we're going to have to be very good against Sligo Rovers. We've done live commentary, as you know, up in the showgrounds, and there's very little between both teams. Just a disappointing mistake that on the night by Mark McGinley cost us 3 points, I would think, you know. So that's probably a key one. For, you know, so it's important we probably keep a clean sheet, and we keep a clean sheet, we've got an opportunity of getting something out of the game.
Yeah. Just moving on from the last time they met, are Sligo a better team than what they were that night now?
That performance wasn't bad. It's like on the night, that, you know, when they won a goal up and we had to go after the game, then they exploited the spaces they're left behind. They do have really good players in the top end of the pitch, as I already mentioned, and they will cause you problems. And Romeo Park's up there, obviously. Jordan Gibson, who's probably been up there with Player of the Year so far, scored a lot of key goals, and for them is a real threat on the right-hand side. So they have players that can hurt you. Like, they've been very consistent, as I said. But no, I don't see they haven't improved. You know, I don't say they've improved a lot since the last time. I think they've just been very consistent. You get an 8 out of 10 of them every single week to go out in the pitch. It's very unlikely you'll get anything below that sort of performance. So they've been very good, and as I said, they've no injuries as well, and not any suspensions as such. So they've been lucky on that side. But listen, Liam Buckley knows this is a difficult match. It's not easy coming to Finn Park. There's no easy games in the Premier League, and especially going to Finn Park is not easy. And Harps are in excellent form as well, so it's going to be an exciting one. It's just such a pity, Oisin, that the fans can't be there, because with Sligo Rovers obviously top of the table and Harps going really well, there'll be a massive crowd, and that's a disappointing aspect for me, that fans can't go out. Both Sligo and Finn Harps fans can't come out and watch the game.
What would be deemed a good result in your mind for Harps and Freddie?
I think it's important that they keep putting points on the board. Oisin, that's the key for me. So that's a point or a three, you know, depending on performance. You know, some days you can say, listen, a draw would be a good result now, obviously, and you're talking Sligo Rovers and how well they're going. But on the night, you could put on a really good performance. You could create chances, and you could miss those chances. So afterwards, you're thinking, geez, we let three go there. So, yeah, listen, interesting one. I don't know. It's going to be a difficult game to count, you know, to find out what way it's going to go. I think it'll be tight. It'll be cagey. Will there be a lot of goals? I don't think there will be, unless Sligo Rovers can score earlier or something like that, and then Harps will have to come out and try to get something out of the game. But yeah, I think a draw would be a big result for Finn Harps. Sligo will probably come looking to 3 points because they're going to be under pressure from Shamrock Rovers, who have Longford at the weekend, and they'll look to obviously get 3 points there.
Yeah. Do you still see Shamrock Rovers as the title winners come the end of the season, Declan? I know they've sort of had a blip, so they have, but you can't take away the quality that they have either. Like, and they're still favourites for it.
Yeah, they're favourites for me. At the start of the season, we were very unsure what was going to happen between Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers, who's going to win it. But I mean, Dundalk have just, for one reason or another, just haven't performed to the level and to the quality that they have at their disposal. I mean, the 29 senior players at the squad, and they've definitely, Rovers, as I said earlier, 33 unbeaten, and then they go two defeats on the bounce within 3 or 4 days, which is incredible. But yeah, for me, Shamrock Rovers are the best team in the league. I don't think they're as potent, and they don't have as much penetration as they had last year. Not scoring as many goals, scoring a lot of late goals. The performances have been good. They're defensively a lot better. Sean Horse come in there, and Brian Gannon's come in as well from Dundalk, and they've all tightened them up. We've not conceded too many goals, but they're not scoring as freely as they were. Jack Byrne was there last year and was involved in 41% of all goals scored. And you take that out of your team, it's very difficult to replace that. Chris Cairns come in, but hasn't had that same impact as Jack Byrne would have. But yeah, listen, still for me the best team in the league, best squad of players, Lemon Dundalk, but they're playing well at spells without scoring a lot of goals, but they're getting over the line.
Pats, of course, are looking to challenge as well. They play Dundalk on Friday night, and given current form, you would nearly think Pats should be walking out the door with the full 3 points against Dundalk in this game. But the Richmond Parkside, the Inchicore club, have had blips along the way in recent weeks too, so they have, Declan.
Yeah, they have. And that's, you just don't know what's going to happen that game, do you? Because both teams, Dundalk, we just don't know what's going to happen. They turned over, obviously, Shamrock Rovers and Oriel last weekend. And then, obviously, they went up and they lost the next game then to Bowes, 5-1, comfortably beaten by Bowes, and Georgie Kelly scoring a hat-trick on the night for him. But, yeah, so you don't know what you're going to get from Dundalk. They have the players. When they hit form, they're really good. St. Pat's have been far more consistent. I haven't conceded too many goals. I've got a few late goals as well and got over the line a few of those ones. But Stephen O'Donnell's come in and done an excellent job in there. They've been consistent. They've obviously added players that have helped them. Robbie Benson came in and scored a penalty, obviously, last week as well to win the game and 2-1. So hard to know. I would see potentially a draw there on that one. Can the doctor and beat them? They can. They seem to play better against the bigger teams, so that could be a performance with a lot of other ex-players obviously playing for St. Pat's as well. So that'll be an interesting one. But St. Pat's have been very consistent. They're up there, obviously, but just don't know how that game's going to go.
Yeah, the other game on Friday night, Derry City are on the road against Drogheda United. Drogheda sitting above Harps, 4 ahead of the Balbuffet side. And Drogheda have been, like Harps, one of the surprise packages, it's fair to say, Declan, in the Premier Division. But from a Derry City point of view, since Rory Higgins took charge, they haven't had a win under him at the Brandywell. But that's been flipped on its head with away form. So don't be surprised if Derry City can take a positive result and the pull points against Drogheda on Friday night. It wouldn't shock you, would it?
No, it absolutely wouldn't. Isn't it funny? I don't know how that is. Like, why that the performances have been so good away from home. And then at home, probably there's more pressure for them to take control of the game and drive forward and try to create opportunities where potentially I would say that when they're at away from home, they sit in a wee bit deeper and they're harder to break down and also very good in the counter attack. Derry rely heavily on set plays. Even the 2 goals the last day was the first one was obviously a set play, and Ronan Boy scored from a scrappy goal in the back post. And on top of that as well, Joe Thompson scored from a strike from a free kick that was in the second phase, and he got a good strike into the net. So they rely heavily, they haven't scored too many goals from open play, so they rely heavily in set plays. So interesting. Drogheda in really good form. Obviously, we lost them last weekend with a last-minute free kick wonder goal by Massey. But, I mean, it's one of those ones where, and then after they went and comfortably beat Longford, up in Drogheda. So, I mean, Drogheda's form is very good. They're playing very well, very free. They score a lot of goals, and they have scored so many goals this season, and they're very open. They like to play attacking football. And so it'll be interesting to see, but you're absolutely right. I expect that to be a very tight affair. I think Derry could get out of Drogheda with a 1-0 victory.
Yeah, which would be a huge result for them. And if Dundalk were were to slip up, and even if Bowes were to slip up, they could, of course, be moving a couple of places up the table. We've already mentioned Shamrock Rovers. They're at Longford Town. You expect Rovers to bounce back after their two back-to-back defeats. And then we've got Bohemians against Waterford also on Saturday as well. Be interesting to see what Georgie Kelly is going to step up with at the weekend. Very capable of grabbing another couple of goals, particularly in a match against a struggling Waterford side.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know if you've seen the hat-trick. It was a wonderful hat-trick. It had everything on it. Bowes scored some excellent goals against Dundalk, and Georgie got a wonderful hat-trick and a header included in that as well. So he's obviously been a major spine in Dundalk's defence, scoring a big hat-trick. Yeah, started off probably reasonably slow, but now he's starting to come. As I said earlier, he's in 6 goals this season, so you expect him to add to that tally. He brings players into the game. We know he's a big, strong lad, but he's also quick as well. And when he gets the opportunities in front of goal, he normally works the keeper. He gets it entirely, or he scores a goal. So, yeah, listen, he's a wee bit of confidence. Waterford obviously aren't going so well. New manager involved. And, you know, they're conceding a lot of goals as well. So you expect Bowes, with the quality they have in the top end of the pitch, to cause problems. And Georgie Kelly to definitely add one or two to his 6 already for the season.
Yeah, just finally then back to the Harps Sligo Rovers game. What are you predicting on Friday in that one in Balbofey, Declan?
I think that could be a 1-1 draw. That's what I'm thinking. I think it'll be tight and cagey. If Harps can score first, I think they'll either get a point or 3 points out of it. So, yeah, if Sligo go on to score first, I'll be pushing towards Sligo getting 3 points.
Okay, Declan, as always, thanks for joining us. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Just to remind you, we will, of course, have live coverage from that Harps-Sligo game tomorrow night here in Highland. We'll have updates from the first half from the 5:45 kickoff, and then after the 7 o'clock news, we'll have the second half live here in Highland. Dermot Doherty will be joined on commentary this week by former Finn Harps goalkeeper Gavin Cullen. Now to Gaelic games. The Donegal senior ladies seek out back-to-back league wins at McCool Park and Ballybuffet on Saturday night. They will look to follow up the win over Westmeath with a similar result against the visiting Mayo side. Jeremy McLaughlin feels the game will be a good marker as to where the current Donegal squad are at. Last week, the star forward played her 100th game in a senior Donegal jersey. She told me that it was a proud day for her.
Yeah, it was. Like, every day you put on your current jersey is always a proud day. I didn't even know till about 2 weeks before the game that I was actually making my 100th. Appearance, I made a joke about it would be bad if I retired last year in 99. But no, I'm glad now I got the 100.
You've come a long way from when Harry McGlynn decided to go knock on the family door and speak to your dad, Tony, about possibly kicking a Gaelic football. And I'm sure 100 appearances in a senior jersey was way off the mark back then, so it was.
For sure. Like, I think even like when you started playing senior, like, that was 2010. Like, you probably, I didn't even think I'd ever make it, and I suppose when time flies, and then I even play 100 games, it's a long way off where they were thinking anyway.
I'm sure you've got loads of memories over the time of pulling on the senior jersey. What would be the standout ones for you, Geraldine?
I suppose the standout one probably be winning Ulster in 2015. That's the first time winning the senior Ulster title. And we were complete underdogs going into that year. We had a really bad league campaign, and probably only for Davy McLaughlin took us on and brought us to the Ulster title. And probably also the 2010 All-Ireland Intermediate. But I think that time we were so young, and we had a really good underage. And I suppose when we were underage, we were winning every year. And when you're up a senior, then we won the first year I was up. So you probably thought it was going to happen all the time. And maybe it wasn't until a couple of years later till you're thinking back and thinking, this doesn't happen all the time. So probably didn't appreciate it a few years after we won it that year. And even the other Ulster finals too, in 2019, we're ripping off also and come out to win that one was also good too.
Yeah, 3 in a row winners, of course, of Ulster, Geraldine, and you didn't partake in the championship last year, but yous are back in the mix this year, and you're going to have Cavan in the middle of June to contend with. So I'm sure lifting, getting another winners' provincial medal is well up on what you want to do this year.
Yeah, it definitely is. We won it for a couple of years there, and then last year we probably didn't go into it. It's very important for us to even compete and to hopefully get the title back with us again, because Ulster football is very competitive and probably the most competitive province in the country, so to win it again, that would be another achievement.
The league campaign started last weekend, Geraldine, off to a winning start against Westmeath. It was sort of important to lay down a marker that, that you've got a win in the opening game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it definitely was. Again, like, it was always going to be rusty, like, going out after 5.5 months of training on your own, and then we didn't have long together before the game, so we knew it wasn't going to be perfect, like, but just to get the 3 points was important, just to get over the line.
And obviously a bit of change around the squad this year as well. Max and the management have decided to bring in a number of young girls, and there's a few that have of the older guard that have stepped away, the likes Yvonne and Kira as well. What have you made of the change within the squad, and how do you, what's the sort of feel of the environment at the squad at the moment, Geraldine?
Yeah, it's always, like, obviously it's going to be a massive loss when you lose the likes of Kira Hegarty and Yvonne, like, in any team. But the young ones have came in and they've really, like, it's a fresh faces, and they're all so eager, like, and pushing all of us on as well, like, and they want to get a certain spot, and they're pushing everyone who's potentially getting a certain spot on, like, so, no, it's good to see new faces and seeing young players coming through and up at that level as well.
The next challenge now is Mayo, back-to-back home games. Is it just as important to win this one at the weekend as well?
Yeah, like, people say, like, winning's a habit, like, so trying to win as many games as possible. Like, I don't know if this game's just as important as others, because, like, we have to beat Galway in order to get through, because if they beat us, they're going to have 2-1, or potentially, unless they beat Westmeath, they're going to have 2-1s, and it's just, we just want to win every game that we go on to play.
And what kind of game do you expect Mayo to present? You've played them, of course, several times in the past, so you have, Geraldine, what sort of game are you expecting come Saturday evening in Balbuffet?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game. Like, any game you go out against Mayo League or Championship, it's always going to be a tough game. And they're considered one of the probably top 4 or 5 teams in the country at the minute. Like, so, to go out and play against them, we'll probably know where we were at, and, like, coming through. Like, we didn't know where we were before Westmeath game, and now we'll know now after the Mayo game.
Playing at McCool Park, this is a development, of course, which has come in recent seasons. What's it like for you as girls now playing at what is seen as the home of Donegal football? Because before this year, you guys used to have to play at various other venues, so you did, Geraldine. But now you've got, like, home matches being played in Balbuffet, as I said, the home of Gaelic football in the county. What's that like for you?
Yeah, it's class. Like, no one that our games are going to be there. Like, probably years before, you probably wouldn't know where the home game was to maybe a week before it, if even. Like, I know one of the years we played Mayo and Ballyshannon, and Mayo had a shorter trip than some of the girls lived in Mallon and Mobile. Like, but now it's nice to know that we're going to be playing there and give some of the girls the opportunity to play and see them, like McCool Park, like, and just shows how far, like, ladies football has gone, like, from trying to get a pitch a week before and now having a home ground like McCool Park.
Yeah, it'd be nice for the ladies to make it like a fortress, what the men have done. Like, they haven't lost a game there since 2010 in the league.
Yeah, hopefully. We've always angry, done well in McCool Park, so hopefully now you can drive that on and do it again Saturday.
To men's Gaelic football, the final series of games before the knockout stages of the Allianz League took place this weekend. In Division 1 North, Donegal travelled to Armagh at the Athletic Grounds, with over 400 Armagh fans allowed into the game, while Tyrone will also have 400 plus for their match against Monaghan. Whoever wins those ties will make the semi-finals, whereas a draw will do for Donegal. The losers will go to the playoffs. Elsewhere in Division 3, Derry are at Ulster champions Cavan and are on course after 2 wins to make the semi-finals and keep their promotion hunt alive. Former Donegal under 20 manager and former senior selector Gary McDade looked ahead to those games this weekend. I suppose, first of all, Gary, Armagh and Tyrone both allowed 400 fans plus into their games this weekend. Armagh hosting Donegal, Tyrone hosting Monaghan. Is it an unfair advantage in your view?
Yeah, listen, Oisín, if you're the home team, you'd be absolutely delighted that you have the fans behind you this weekend. I mean, the game was in the melting pot late on, even though there's only 400 in there. They could make the difference. I mean, it was a big, you could see it, the teams in the Premiership across the water last weekend were delighted as well. Granted, there was a lot more in the stadium, but they're a lot bigger stadium, I suppose. But, you know, if you're Donegal and home this weekend, you'd be really, really happy. So you would that you had the fans behind you, because and these games, a lot of these games in Division One are going down to the wire, so it could make a difference. It could have an influence. And listen, it's a wee pro for Armagh this weekend. It's a mark, a tick against Donegal.
Donegal got ripped open last week, conceding 4 goals against Monaghan. They could have conceded a lot more. Is it going to be something similar this week, or are we going to expect Donegal sort of to fill those holes at the back, Gary, and particularly down the wings?
I would always look back at us, you know, league is league, and championship's a completely different game, and teams don't want to be showing their hand totally at the minute. So, you know, like, I don't think you're going to see everything that they're going to be doing in championship, but I think possibly, you know, they're definitely going to look to make sure they're not as maybe open at the back this weekend. You might see Hugh McFadden or possibly Patrick Morgan drop into that area around 6 when they don't have the ball, or around the top of the D to try and block some of those holes, because they're not going to want to go out maybe and concede the amount of goals that they conceded last weekend again, because they're going to want to build confidence again going forward, and by to give yourself a chance going into the game. You know, you can't be conceding 4 goals, because you're not going to win too many games conceding 4 goals.
Yeah. Big miss last week, of course, with Michael Murphy. He may not appear this week. He may not appear next week. We mightn't see him until the first round of the championship, or quite possibly the second. We just don't know at this stage how he is with that hamstring injury. But it took Donegal a while to get into the workings of things without Michael last week.
Yeah, it did. And like, if you think back, we were actually, I think, 8 or 9 points down at the time. And as you said, it took a while. But what impressed me, Oshin, was the way that the lads stuck in and really clawed their way back into the game. And there was a great resolve among the groups, it was, and among the players. And no doubt that'll stick them. And what I was really, really happy was the way that the players stood up to be counted. You know, people are often saying, in our county, and even outside our county, Oshin, they're often saying, what will Donegal do without Michael Murphy? What would Donegal do without Michael Murphy whenever he retires? You know, I mean, as you said, it took a while to set last week, but you have to be delighted with the way Patrick McBurdy scored up. And he had 8 or 9 points in the end up. Oisín Gallen, Niall O'Donnell, they all contributed on the scoreboard and contributed handsomely. And we have to remember Niall and the likes of Oisín Gallen are only young Cubs as well, not that long out of under-20s.
Yeah, we have to mention Owen McNeillis too, who was solid when he came in the second half. Would he be in line for a starting role this week, would he?
I just thought he gave us a real calm and influence, Oisín, when he came into the game, and he just oozes that class, so he does, and nothing bothers him. You couldn't get a rise out of him. The opposition are wasting their time trying to get a rise of him. He takes everything in a stride, and I think he brings a calmness to the whole situation. And you know, looking at the way players went off injured last week, we seem to be carrying, you know, more than Michael injury wise. The likes of Owen Vann and Hugh McFadden, etc., went off, and Brendan McCall. No, all seem to be carrying knocks. So, I think we'll definitely see Owen McNeill's game time this week. Whether or not he starts, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, we could see a handful of changes from the side, which lined out last week. But what sort of game are you expecting then Gary? Obviously, Kieran Donaghy's in there looking after the forwards of Armagh. The last time we were at the Athletic Ground, or the last time we played Armagh in the Championship, turned out to be a comfortable one. So it did for Donegal. The last time we were at the Athletic Grounds was a different story. We lost, of course, to Cavan and the Ulster final. But listen, what sort of game do you think we're going to have? What can we expect now at the Athletic Grounds on Saturday evening?
Well, probably looking at Armagh, you know, I think they have a great new life and a great new energy about them. Maybe Kieran Donaghy's helped to bring this out. There's a freshness certainly about them. And now they're playing a very demanding style. Like they may remind me back to Donegal back in 2012. They kick a bit of ball, but not they won't kick them out the same ball that Donegal kick. They're very much into the running game, Oisín, so they are, and they run the ball hard coming from defence. And I would say that's probably, Oisín, what affected them so bad injury-wise last week, because they were killing themselves getting out of defence. And it's so, I think they lost 4 defenders. I think it was 7 subs altogether they lost. So they're going to be down men this weekend. They're going to be going deep into their reserves as well. And they're going to be definitely not coming with everyone available, the same as Donegal. I think inside, Oisín, Rory Grogan has really stepped up this year. Like, he's had 11 points in the 2 games. And he looks a threat inside along with young O'Neill. You have the 2 O'Neills, one in midfield, Kane and Rain, and one in full forward. Two lads I would know for a long time, because they would have played McCrory against us here in the college. They would have went to St Coleman's and Uries, and quality footballers. I mean, you probably saw the pass yourself last week that Rain had under the full forward that got the goal against Tyrone. Like, they're just typical Cross McGlenn players, loving to kick the ball. So they are. So I think they have a very balanced mix. They would bring great honesty to the game. So they do. They're nearly actually maybe I think maybe naive, you know, but they're, it might be the right word to use, but they're so innocent, and they're not just maybe fully streetwise at the minute, so they're not. But with the likes of McGeaney and Donny in there, listen, that will come, and they have 2 points on the board already, so I think they'll be absolutely delighted where they are, that they're still going into the last game and have a chance to go for the semi-final of the league.
Yeah. Is Donegal more streetwise, if you want to call it, Gary? Do you expect Donegal to win on Saturday?
Donegal are definitely a streetwise team. I mean, you talked there about the Cavan game, Oisin, last year. Probably, Oisin, this current group would have beaten every team that we'd expect them to beat in years gone by, apart from that Cavan game last year. And I think they'll take huge learning from that. And even last weekend, Oisin, they'll learn massively from it. I mean, like, it's a great stick for the management team to beat them this week now. I mean, conceding those 4 goals and making sure we shore up at the back and be more comfortable at the back and maybe not as open at the back. So Donegal are definitely a lot further down the track than the current Armagh team. I think we have a nice blend there. Man, we've very mobile players, we're very physical players, we're very agile players. We just have good strength and depth as well.
Well, wouldn't be a big surprise if Armagh were to win on Saturday with you, would it, Gary? On the other side of that,
I think what goes in our favour on Saturday is probably the amount of injuries that Armagh picked up as well last weekend. I think that could come back to bite them. I was watching that game and geez, they were going off left, right and centre. I think they nearly run out of subs, and I heard McGeaney complain during the week about the sub rule as well. I think it was 7 they used. But I fancy Donegal, Oisin, to win the game. Why? Because I think you'll see a reaction, Oisin, out of them after last week, you know, after conceding that 4 goals. The way they finished the game, Oisin, they could have won the game last week. You know, they finished very strongly.
Yeah. Let's go to the other match in Division 1 North, Tyrone against Monaghan. We've seen two sort of different Tyrone sides. We've seen the team that lost to Donegal, and then we've seen the team that came out and beat Armagh. Tyrone now in a position where they know that if they take a result against Monaghan, that they'll be through to a semi-final. But Monaghan will be buoyed by that fantastic performance against Donegal, particularly in the first half, even though they will be disappointed that they didn't win the game. How's this one going to go, Gary?
Listen, I think it'll be in the home straight, Oisin, before we know what way it's going to go. The big thing probably, Oisin, that I really enjoyed last week from the Monaghan Donegal game from a Monaghan point of view was Rory Began. I just thought he brought a whole new facet to the game. Yes, we're well aware of him coming out the field, and we're well aware of what he can do as kickers, but I thought the way he came out the field, Oisin, continuously, so he did, and offered that outlet. I just thought no one has done it to that level that Rory Began has done it last week. And you know what? It nearly encouraged Sean Patton in to come out the field on the far side, which did we let him
do it too much, Gary, is the other side of it.
Well, see, when I was chatting to a couple of boys during the week, and they said that to me as well, but why did they not go to Began and tackle him? But see, you have to think about then. Began nearly wants the opposition to come to him because he can offload. Then if you leave your man's free then, and your man will get up the field, because everyone actually now is very much playing the man-to-man with a plus one at times, and not even every time last week. So they were.
But
so
Gary, Monaghan had 14 men on the pitch when he was doing it.
Yeah.
Which we have one extra.
Exactly. Well, that's a very good point. So that's probably where our plus one was, Oisin. So you bring a very good point there. We definitely should have pushed up on him. You know, when you think of that, because I think, Oisin, as well, you know, they had the 14 men when we conceded 3 goals in the first half. You know, we had an extra man at that stage as well. So they had the black card at the time. But I just think he's brought a new dimension to goalkeeping after last weekend. And you know, and the likes of Sean Patton, you know, Sean would have, up here at the college, would have played midfield for us. And then it was only when he got to senior keeper, senior house in the college, that he ended up going back into goals then. So we did. So, like, I think there's huge avenues for goalkeepers to really, Oisín, this year in the Championship, to be a huge outlet. I was so impressed with the outlet that he created last week for Monaghan, you know. And you have him now against Niall Morgan this weekend, probably the two best at it, Oisín, in the country. So it could be a real exciting game. Of it'd be interesting, Oisín, going back to your point, will any team go to him or go to Morgan and take the ball off them? Because, you know, both Manchester teams are going to have to answer that question in the preparation this week.
Yeah. But Tyrone will be in a good position playing at home as well. They're going to have the home supporters there too, just like Garman. It's probably taken a number of weeks for Tyrone sort of to bed into things, has it?
Yeah, and, you know, probably one man maybe who hasn't maybe set the world alight and they were really looking forward to doing it was Conor McKenna. You know, like he's been quiet enough in the games. They're probably expecting a lot more from him. He's quiet enough last weekend as well. But one player maybe that really stood up for Tyrone last weekend, and I was shocked, so it was Darren McCurry, you know, at centre forward. And suppose he played up the field, Oisín, last week. He didn't do what he did maybe in the past for Tyrone, running back and chasing back like they always did. He played basically as a centre forward on the 45. It was a huge outlet for them. Looked, Oisín, a lot leaner, a lot trimmer. Looked like a fella who is fulfilling the potential that he showed years ago when he broke onto the scene first. So he's definitely a player maybe that they never thought of maybe in the public that they would have had back to that form. And of course then Peter Hart has really stepped it up last weekend after a very poor showing against Donegal. It was excellent last week, I thought, off the ball and on the ball. And the way Oisín went for the long goal that he banged in from about 20 metres out, like, it just shows you the ability he has, like the power the keeper's never expecting on from long distance.
Yeah. Well, who are you going to call to win that one then, Gary?
I think, you know, Oisín, what I love what Monaghan are doing. I love the way that they're bringing all this youth through, that they have so much youth and energy in their team. And I think, you know, Tyrone at home in Omagh just don't have a wee bit too much for the youthfulness of Monaghan.
Yeah. One other game involving a Northwest County Derry. Roy Gallagher's side going to the Ulster champions, Cavan. Cavan have had a tricky start to the year. Derry, back-to-back wins, looking to make it three. This is a tie that Derry are very much capable of getting something out of on the road on Saturday afternoon, Gary, and continue and stay on course for promotion out of that division.
Yeah, and listen, who would ever thought, Oisín, the score lines that they're hitting up at the minute? I think they're possibly top scorers across the four leagues at the minute. Like, I mean, they absolutely walloped Fermanagh last week after walloping Longford the week before. And we have to remember the first week Fermanagh beat Cavan by a point, so they did last week in a fantastic game that I actually managed to watch myself at the time. And I never saw that result coming last weekend. You know, I mean, from talking to people, I think Longford maybe didn't look after themselves during lockdown and they're a long way off the pace. So they were, and so therefore no one really expected that result. So that obviously shows, actually, they're in super form at the minute. And I don't know what their number one supporter, Joe Brawley, what way he's going to react to this. So he is at the minute with the amount of scores going in, because they've been very sore on them in years gone by.
Yeah, and listen, they're on course to get promotion, but they need to get out of Division 3. So they need to get out of there before the Championship, Gary.
If they have ambitions to win an Ulster Championship, Oisín, you're 100% right. They need to get out of 3. They have to get into 2. And listen, suppose they have the advantage, Oisín, of going up to the Marshes to watch Donegal and Down. And never underestimate that there, you know, that advantage of teams going in, watching you, having a free pass to see everything that you're doing, you know, and to prepare, go away and prepare then, and to try and not nullify your strengths and try and exploit any weaknesses you have. So listen, no doubt Derry are more than capable to do that. And listen, they'll be lying in the long grass, hopefully waiting on Donegal, please God.
Okay, listen, Gary, thanks for joining us today on our preview. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Good morning, Oisín. All the best.
Gary McDade there. Just to remind you, Armagh against Donegal will be live here in Highland on Saturday evening. Throwing time is at 7:30. We'll be live from 7:15. I'll be joined on commentary by Martin McHugh. You'll not miss a beat from the athletic grounds in Armagh this coming Saturday evening here in Highland. To rugby. This week, the Letterkenny Rugby Club announced the appointment of Paul O'Kane as their new head coach. Paul has a vast portfolio of experience in North West rugby, having coached successfully at Limavady, Strabane and City of Derry. His last appointment was for 3 years at City of Derry, where he took the Judges Road side from the brink of junior rugby back to being a competitive side in the All-Ireland League. I caught up with Paul this week to hear about his plans to make Letterkenny a force in Ulster.
Well, I'm a huge North West rugby enthusiast to begin with. It's where I'm from, and I've always seen the potential that exists within Letterkenny. If you speak with anyone within Ulster rugby, the development coaches, they'll all tell you the potential that exists there. I know even getting guys into City of Derry over the past few years, the Conor McMenamins, the Rory McGinty's, the Ben McGarvey's. There's so much potential that comes out of Letterkenny and the wider Donegal area, Finn Valley, etc. And I think it's time that that's what Letterkenny have seen. It's time that the opportunities were created on their doorstep, that they didn't have to go away for those opportunities. And it's time that we find solutions to all the problems. The guys that are maybe having to travel from university will shift training to a Friday evening. There's going to be a proper setup in place. There's been good coaches in Letterkenny before, but maybe they hadn't the support or resources around them. So myself, along with Alistair Ferguson, who's a fantastically talented coach, there's also going to be a strength and conditioning coach attached with the club, which is a huge aspect of the game now that you've got to look after, especially getting the guys transitioning from youth rugby into senior rugby. It's a different ball game being an 18-year-old and playing against your own age to run against a 30-year-old ball of a man. So there's a lot of help and support that we have to give these guys as a club to make them feel part of things and really start to bring their potential to fruition, really. And that's what, to be honest, that's what excites me. When you look at the facilities that Letterkenny have, their top drawer. We were down there last night, and you only have to look at the clubhouse, the pitches, and the room around there to actually grow as well, to know that it's a bit of hard work and a bit of togetherness, and hopefully we can achieve some good things.
You done it in the first year of your 3 year term at City of Derry. You were able to turn things around. Where do you want to be at the end of year one with Letterkenny, Paul?
End of year one with Letterkenny, a lot of it will be dictated by who we can re-engage squad wise. I've been probably over the past few days, I think I messaged around 60 people the other day. Guys that had walked away from the club or had stopped playing rugby for one reason or another. We want to try and re-engage with some of the talent that it has existed that doesn't really play in much rugby at the moment. The Daniel Faulkners, the Peter Scott, the Ben Scotts. There's a host of names that we want to try and get through and try and re-engage them into the club. When we see what quality that we have, I genuinely feel there's natural potential there to finish in the top four this year at least. You would love to drive forward under that playoff position of the top two, even first year, and have a successful run in the Gordon West Cup. Depending on what talent I'm able to re-engage and tandem what's already there, because the guys forget there's some fantastic talent there already, like Christy Gimas and Davey Ward and Davey Brown, those kind of stalwart players, Andrew Gibson, those guys could have played at a much higher level than they have. So there is a spine that exists within Letterkenny. It's about now creating opportunities for those young guys coming through and seeing what talent we can pull into there. And obviously, what talent we don't have, we're going to look to solutions for that. So we will recruit and we'll find answers to that in the local area by trying to attract guys from other clubs. And to what I see as a club that's only going to go one way, to be honest. It's built to grow, and that's what I intend to drive.
You mentioned about players that have moved on to play with various other All-Ireland League clubs, Paul, that's come out of the Letterkenny Academy. Is your purpose with that type of player now going forward to keep them in Letterkenny, or do you still have to evolve them and let them go play with a bigger club and at a bigger level? And that probably all bodes well down the line for the club again. So how do you find the happy medium between all that?
To be honest, I think you've got to aspire to keep your own talent. And that's certainly the aspiration within the club now, is that Letterkenny probably hasn't created the opportunities for them. They haven't had that support, but now they are going to have that support. So if we want to grow through the leagues, there's minimal differences level-wise through all the leagues. So to be honest, especially from Q2 up to Q1 and onto AIL. There's small differences, and there's small things that can make a massive difference in regards to your squad. It's about building squad depth. So our aspiration is that we are going to make sure that we retain up to around 85-90% of our under-18s coming through now. I think, like, we've got to do that. And the mentality of hemorrhaging our best talent out to the other clubs has got to go. And it's part of the mentality that I certainly will be bringing. As I say, with the setup that we're going to have in place, the guys are going to have the same opportunity to evolve as they would at an Ireland League club. With the experience that I have and Alistair, and as I say, with the medical support from a physiotherapist that we'll have for the guys, the S&C provision, to be honest, we definitely don't want to see guys seeing that there's better opportunities outside. We want to see the opportunities being created from within. Now that, as I say, there's been a fairly good start to that made by, I think there's nine of the under-18 team that are coming out this year. There's six of them that have already committed to playing their rugby within Letterkenny next year. Now there's a couple that may be lost who are going down to Limerick to study, and that's fair enough. But even Galway, Dublin, Belfast, we will look and strive to keep those guys on board now. And we'll only get stronger as we grow. A huge part of what we're trying to do at first team level is going to happen below that. We will, by hook or by crook, have a development team up and running this year. It's a place for guys who, in the Letterkenny area, maybe have walked away, maybe guys from a Gaelic background or another sporting background that want an opportunity to play the sport but need to learn the sport. And as I say, those under-18 guys who are maybe physically just not ready for senior rugby yet at first team level, we've got to create those opportunities below. So we're going to have a development team up and running again, which is hugely important. Rory McGonigal is going to get involved with the coaching end of that, but primarily I will also look after that team as well. With the numbers that are coming out in the next year at under-18 level, like with 22 guys coming out, at under-18 level, like aspiration-wise, like we should be genuinely looking to be producing probably as a minimum two sides, but hopefully aiming towards three sides over the next 2-3 years. I mean, we've got to grow those opportunities and pathways within the club. So I definitely don't want to be losing our best talent from now on.
Yep. Just finally then, realistically, how far is Letterkenny away from playing either Ulster Senior League Rugby or AIL?
I think you're probably 5 years away from probably making a decision on that, and that's probably what the club have actually seen themselves. They want to get real stability in the club. I have committed to a 5-year contract, so I see that it's going to take time. The committee know that it's going to take time, but in 5 years' time, we will, with the crop of youngsters that are coming through and hopefully re-engaging some of the talent that has been lost and guys moving home over the next few years, I would like to think that we're, if not very stable in Q2, we will be up in Q1. That's the aim. And once you're there, you only have to look at the likes of Oma, who I would have played against or coached against as well in Q2. They went from Q2 into Q1 and straight up into 2C and the All-Ireland League. So that's how, once you get the squad gathered and you get the depth right, that's how easily it can happen. Or not easily is maybe the word, but that when you put in the work and the hard yards and you grow that depth, it is those small minimal differences and getting that togetherness and making sure that you hold on and maintain your talent and getting everyone bought into driving a real new culture within Letterkenny. Like, it can happen that quickly. And as I say, I think chatting to the one thing that I've picked up from every single lad that I've spoke with, Letterkenny wise, is there's a real drive and enthusiasm to have top level rugby in the Letterkenny area. They see it as their home club. They want to see success at their home club, and that there will take you a fair bit of the way alone. So it's just creating the opportunities for those guys and helping them along the way.
Finally, in the score tonight, Gary Jennings and Rory Kennedy will return to the British Rally Championship next Monday. will be Gary's first time tackling the BRC in 18 years as he mounts an assault on the UK national title in a Ford Focus R5. With rallying at a halt in Ireland, a number of Irish competitors have decided to cross the channel to race against the best Britain has to offer at the Oulton Park Neil Hard Memorial Stages. Monaghan men Sam and Josh Moffat and Muff driver Joseph McGonigal are also on the entry list. Gary says it's good to be back after a long break away from the sport.
It's always there. It's always niggling at you, and it's a chance now to go and get, do something a bit different, and hopefully not as much pressure as usual. Done it before, and I always wanted to go back, and I think if we don't go back now, I think we'll be beating the age a wee bit. So also, you know my thoughts on right-hand drive cars, and right-hand drive cars are eligible to the BRC. So that's really what that was the final swing to make us go. And I say we phoned the BRC, and I think within 15 minutes they persuaded me to come. So yeah, look, we're looking forward to going over now, and they're welcoming us with open arms. And I think there's been a great influx of Irish drivers going now since we announced we were going.
Yeah, I see the likes of Sam and Josh Moffat on the entry list. Donegal man Joseph McGonigal's on it as well. This R5 car, tell us a wee bit more about it, because normally we're used to seeing you in the S12B, Gary. That's not going to happen now when you go to the BRC. So how did the whole Fiesta right-hand drive R5 car come about?
It came back in November time. It was a simple business conversation between ourselves and Don Buckley about something completely irrelevant to rallying, and it happened to come up at the end of a business venture. So we purchased the car back in November. We have it now, obviously. From then, we didn't use it much, obviously lockdown, there wasn't much testing or nothing like that. But I've been to Mandela there a couple of weeks ago when it opened up, and we were in Ahadui there on Tuesday. I can't fault the car. I think it's a real driver's car. You have to drive it. It's like come back to the old Super 1600 cars, and I'm kind of looking forward to get out in it. I don't expect to be that quick again, all these regulars. But hey, I really enjoyed it, and it put a smile back on my face.
Yeah. How's the car set up for the Irish Tarmac Championship? It's not homologated, is it, for the Irish Tarmac Championship, Gary?
Yeah, that's right. That's the problem. They're not homologated in right-hand drive. But look, we've been asked a lot of questions. We've been speaking to a couple of people since my last podcast, and hopefully we can get in the right direction. Simple thing I put about is when Austin McHale and the Great Bertie Fisher were rallying, they always had right-hand drive cars that weren't homologated on the World Championship or European, but they were homologated for Irish Championship. So hopefully if we could convince or get whatever authorities over the board now and let us go right-hand drive in Ireland, I think the problem I have, actually, everybody here drives right-hand drive cars, and I can't see why we're forced to drive less hand drive cars when we don't feel that comfortable. So look, if we can get this over the line maybe once and for all, hopefully you'll see us all back in an Irish Tarmac Championship as well.
Yeah, I say it wasn't too hard to convince Rory Kennedy to take on the British Rally Championship again, was it, Gary?
I think the British Rally Championship was the simplest decision I had to make, because Rory was for going to Barbados, he was for going to Portugal and France, and I think I got the best option was just to go across the Irish Sea and do the British Rally Championship.
Yeah. Rory would like to go travelling, that's for sure, and get a bit of the sun, so he would. Oulton Park is the venue for this, so it's taken in parts of the circuit. Tell us about the Neil Hard Memorial Stages, Gary.
Completely new to me. I'm not a circuit racer. I haven't done much of these Ahaduis or anything, I guess, or Shackleton stages. I haven't done them. Am I good on them? Not really, but to start the championship, you must do the first round, so it'll be a good shakedown for the car as well and myself. Obviously, around a track, there's no big stone ditches or big trees, so we can hopefully slide it about a bit. But look, we're not saying we're not going there to be competitive. We hope to be there or thereabouts, but it's probably a good way of starting the championship as well. But I know a lot of them top six or seven drivers from the BRC have all been there before and won there before, so it's going to be hard to compete against them. But yeah, we're looking forward to it.
You have, of course, competed in the BRC before, and we have to go back maybe 18 years, nearly 20 years, Gary, to when you were a young cub sitting in the Peugeot. What rounds are you looking forward to this year, and what rounds actually do you know of that you've tackled before?
I think I'm looking forward to getting the forestry over there. I really like the forestry in England. Big, wide roads, and you can chuck the car about. I'm looking forward to them. But then, obviously, if we can get our foot on the board and get some scores, obviously, we're going back to Ulster Rally then towards the end of the championship, and that could leave it very exciting if we were up there or thereabouts.
Yeah. Is it a case we're going to see a lot more of the Irish guys cross the water now in the for various other rounds of rallying, given that there's nothing here at the moment?
I think without a doubt, Oisín, it's been the topic, a lot of conversation we've had over this last few weeks. I think just the influx of drivers that's gone over there at the minute. And I think we have to also mention that the two young Kellys, one from Mount Charles and one from Donegal Town, going as well in the Fiesta. So, like, all these younger guys too, who's making the switch across to the BRC. And I think that's the time to do it when they're young now. And I always said it, and I always believe that all the young people should go out there and start their stuff and then come back and enjoy themselves in the Irish Tarmac Championship. And I think it was doing the opposite way about there for a couple of years. They're all battling at home and then not making the switch across the Irish scene. I think really to get noticed and to get the drives, you have to be over there in the British Championship. And yeah, I think there'll be a lot more younger drivers heading over there, and it's great to see it as well.
Yeah, is the British Rally Championship still seen as one of the prestige championships in Europe, like what it did, Gary, almost 20 years ago, because it was huge? And you've seen the likes of Colin McRae and Richard Burns and different drivers like that all coming through the British Rally Championship, and it was held so highly back then. Is it still the case with it?
Yes, without a doubt. I think Chris Meek was the one of my generation when we were over there to make it out of the British Championship. You've Alfin Evans, who made it the World Championship. You know, you've Craig Breen doing the British Championship. I think that's the stepping stone that they have, British Championship, European, and then World. So, yeah, I think that's one of the first steps in the ladder, and I think these boys are definitely making the right decision to start over there now this year.
Just a note on Irish Rally, and just before we finish up, Gary, I know amongst club men, and I've been talking to them this over the last number of weeks, that it looks like it's going to cost somewhere in the region of possibly €1,000 to do a one-day rally for a clubman here in Ireland. Later in the year, come September, October, November time, and we may get a one-day event here in Donegal. A lot of them are very, very unhappy with Motorsport Ireland as to how much it's going to cost them to do an event and their home event, actually. What's your feelings on it, Gary? Are you very much of the same sort of thinking as these clubmen?
Yes, actually, no doubt. You know, to be truthful, I'm really a club man as well. I know, like, I pay for all my own motorsport, all our own rally, and it's funded by ourselves. You know, great, surely we get some sponsorship in there, but all that core expense is all absorbed by ourselves. And I think I know you wouldn't mind a 10 or 15% hike in fees, but like this 100% hike is unreal. And I mean, we're just pricing even to go and do these British Championship events. We have a boat to pay for, but the entry fee is a quarter what it is here in Ireland. And we take it into consideration, we'd probably jump on the boat and do the rally for the same as entry fee in Ireland. I know it's hard for the clubs, and I know, but I don't think it's very hard to make the competitors pay for it. I think that's the killer, you know. Obviously, you can't get any money at gates or any charges for people to come and watch, and that's the killer in Irish motorsport. We're obviously, this rally in England next weekend, there'll be closed gates, so anybody has to come and watch it, they'll be paying. Whether it be £5 or £10 ahead, still that brings revenue to motorsport. We just haven't got that in Ireland, and they're truly dependent on the entry fees, and that's what's killing us, and definitely the clubmen.
Yeah, it's something they're going to have to look at then in the coming years, Gary, because the clubmen will not be able to sustain €1,000 every time there's a day rally.
Yeah, and actually that's only the entry fee, you know. People don't realise the expense to go and do the rallies, and like for the general public, when you tell somebody for winning a rally, for instance, even an international rally, there's no prize money. You know, and people don't realise that. People think if you win the rally, you win your class, you get £1,000. There's no prize money in Irish rallying. So, yeah, it's very, very hard. It's very hard for everybody to sustain, and it's just, we only do it because it's something we love.
Yeah. Just back to Monday. You're looking forward to it. What would be a good result then for you and Rory? Where would you like to be come Monday evening?
Oh, the 20th person's asked me this week. I have no expectations. I'm going to enjoy myself. If I can go home on the boat on Monday and have a couple of beers and had a good weekend's fun, I think that's what it's all about. Definitely, if we get in the top 10, yep. If we get on the edge of top 5, it would be a fantastic result. We went to the British Championship before with outside of hope, and we've come away very well on the first couple of rounds. I think we'll have to finish with no mistakes around this Alton Park to get a score on the board and hopefully stay in there towards the end of the Championship.
Okay, listen, guys, good to talk to you. Good to see you, and the best of luck to you and Rory and the rest of the guys that are making the trip over for the BRC event on Monday.
Thanks, Oisín. Thanks very much.
That's Gary Jennings, and that's it from the Score programme for tonight. You can, of course, recap by going to the sports section of highlandradio.com. Chris Ashmore will have our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news, so what's left of your Thursday. Have a very good evening.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all your training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.